right. This is how we like to spend our Friday afternoons around here, daydreaming of all the lovely travel places that Sally Lucas is going to take us on. Now, I haven't done the usual catch up with you in the hallway,
no,
Sally.
No, you haven't. So you've got no idea what I'm going to talk about today.
Oh, no idea. Where will we be going today?
Well, I'm sticking in the Southern Hemisphere today. So I'm talking about our own lovely country, why you should visit the Northern Territory, and talking about some lovely rail trips throughout South Africa.
Oh, yes. We've been talking about rail before we started, Sally.
We were. So it's a topic we can continue with.
All right. So we'll talk some trains and we'll get you up into the NT. We'll start, Sally, up into the top end where it is a damn sight warmer than
here, right about now. I know. And I mean, I've just come back from Perth and everyone thinks Perth's warmer than here. But no. It was extremely cold. We had even 7 degree overnight temperatures. So everyone who's going to WA, don't think that Perth has a warm winter. It doesn't.
Yeah, because they're really just us on the other side,
aren't
they?
Well, they are, really. And yet they have that extremely hot summer that we don't get, you know, the 40-degree days. But having said that...
Would you like to know what it is in Darwin right now?
I'd say it's about 31, 32. Yeah.
Well, they're having maybe a easterly bust has come through. It's only 28 degrees.
Oh, my God, that's freezing. My friends will have their jumpers on. Say, come down here and put jumpers on. Honestly, it's so funny in summer.
However, it will get down to... this is kind of busting the myth here. It'll get down to 22.
Oh, no. That is busting
it's
the myth.
Cold for them, anyway.
It is. But look, these are just some funny comments that was put out by a Northern Territory tourism about 10 reasons why you should visit the Northern Territory. And I thought, I'll talk about it today anyway, because I'm still surprised at how many people have not been to the NT or have never been to Darwin. They've been to nearly every other capital city, but no, haven't been to Darwin.
All right, so for the avid Oz travellers, the people that get around, because that's where your comment is, why do you think that is?
I don't know. And honestly, it's almost the same with WA as well. I've spoken to a lot of people since I've been backwards and forwards a lot who say, I've always been meaning to go to Perth, but I've just never been.
Never did.
Mm. Whether it's the distance... I'm not sure. I mean, you've got two lovely trains. You've got the Indian Pacific going to Perth. You've got the GAN going up to, Darwin. And people do travel on them because the trains are regularly full. Mm. But it's still amazing how many people I speak to still haven't been to both these destinations. So I just thought today, particularly if you want to discover a rich culture, the Northern Territory does have a rich and proud tradition of embracing its Aboriginal history. So depending on what part of it you want to do, and of course everyone is familiar with Uluru. I mean, I guess that's the one standout that if everyone wants to go to the Northern Territory, they'll go to Uluru.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, that's sort of there. Hey, let's go to Ayers Rock. That's great. But that's only
more.
One small bit, isn't it?
And it's way down in the bottom sort of southwestern corner. So it's nowhere near Darwin. And I think this is
also
the thing.
Also, don't know anything.
No, basically, no. Well, of course, you are near other areas, of course, but to get out there, or we drive normally, but of course, you can do coach tours that'll take you out there as well. But let's start with Darwin anyway. Darwin itself is a very multicultural city, right? So a lot of Asian people live there. So the Asian food scene is delightful. And a lot of the markets have got beautiful, you know, Asian food stalls selling everything from pho to laxas to you name it, you know, beautiful food. Yeah. And I just love that for a start. Climate is beautiful in winter. Just don't go there in the build-up. That would be the worst time, that build-up before summer, because they're just getting the heat with no rain. So you get this horrible 100% humidity and no relief.
Roger that. Okay. So you've got to pick your poison here, haven't you?
No later than September, I would suggest. And then go again after summer when you've still got the wet, because you've got all the beautiful waterfalls are pumping, all your lagoons are full of beautiful lotus lilies. It's just stunning. It's all green. I mean, a lot of people go in winter because they think, oh, it's dry, it's cooler, which is, it's all of that. And look, yes, you can go in winter and it is still lovely. You're still going to see, a huge amount of animals and so on. You'll see more bird life, obviously, after the wet. Mm. And you won't see as many crocs, and people like that, because they're all hiding underneath the water because the riverbanks are all covered, so they haven't got the riverbanks to sun on like they do in winter. So it's very different at those two times of the year. But I like going in that April, May time to see it green and to see it lush and to see those waterfalls. You know, I think it's absolutely stunning.
Maybe people aren't connecting the dots of Northern Territory and not so much the wildlife, but certainly that greenery and the scenery, we think, well, Northern Territory, that's desert, that's bland, I'll just not go there. But obviously that's not the case across the whole joint.
No, and look, like anywhere that has an incredible landscape that's spread out, like Kakadu National Park, you really need to do an aerial flight to give you an idea of these huge escarpments and everything that you can't get it from the ground. Like when you go to Uluru, to fly over Uluru and see Katajuta as well, you know, you just get the idea of why all this was connected once upon a time, you know, when there was ocean. And this is a mountain range that was submerged that's now what it is and left us with Uluru and Katajuta. But you can do a beautiful cruise in Kakadu, of course, which is what the yellow water was, which it's called, and that is just stunning at the end of the wet. When we did it last time, I'd just never seen so much bird life, which is incredible, from your huge sea eagles with their magnificent, massive nests, you know, to your wading birds, you know, everything that you can imagine, including crocs and everything else. But it's just, you see such a wide, you know, expanse of all the different flora, fauna, etc., which is fantastic. We talked about food. It's wonderful as well. And also, like, as I said, you've got the real outback. Now, you could camp. If you don't want to camp, you can glamp. You've got good accommodation in the territory these days. There's plenty to choose from, all sorts of reasons to go. You've got the beautiful Tiwi Islands just to the north of Darwin, which you can get to by ferry, or you can fly if you haven't got much time. Natural waterholes, as I've just mentioned. And, of course, the rangers go through at the end of the wet and make sure all the waterholes are free of crocs, so they're safe to swim in, obviously.
100% free?
Sometimes there's a few little fresh wateries, but they don't eat you.
Okay. They snack.
No. But generally, no, they're pretty safe. They won't open them up until they're sure that the waters are clear for you to swim in. And there's some
beautiful... Put a giant strainer across the...
It'd be a damn big strainer, wouldn't it? Of course, you can dive into the cage of death if you really want to swim with a crocodile at Darwin's Crocosaurus Cove and all of that sort of thing. And yeah, there's a reptile centre. Look, you've got the Territory Wildlife Park, which, again, you can do as a day trip. If you haven't got time to do all of Kakadu, you're going to see all these animals at the Territory Wildlife Park, a wonderful wildlife park with a great bird and raptor display, which is incredible. So you've lots of things you can do. You can even do a heli pub tour if that turns you on.
Yeah, there you go. So we're finding 101 reasons
one
for people
to go. One of my husband's
and...
friends and his mates have done it, and they said it was incredible. So, and of course, talking about Uluru, you've still got that wonderful light display that's on there, which has been going for some time now. But you've got Kings Canyon as well, out of Alice Springs. You've got, you know, the Royal Flying Doctor Service Centre, which all started up in the territory. You've got to remember. So there's lots of history there as well as lots of culture. So if you haven't been there, you know, put it on your bucket list. There's so much to see and do up there. It's not just Uluru, even though I love it and it's magnificent. There's a lot more to the territory, and it's just a fantastic place to visit. And they have lots of festivals throughout the year as well. Darwin each year in August is a fantastic festival. All top singers from around Australia, they have the wonderful concerts, again, food, everything you can imagine. So, yeah, if it isn't on your bucket list, it should be.
All right, the Northern Territory, that's one part of it done today. Talking Travel is the name of the game. That's how we spend our Friday afternoons around here with our travel expert, Sally Lucas, who's been trying to fix a Julia. Sally, every time you're here...
I have a malfunction.
Yeah, and you at home, you're not aware of this, but every time Sally's here, there's always some sort of problem with your jewellery, your glasses and the headphones. They just end up this big mess.
And I know what your easy answer to that would be.
What, don't wear it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that's far be it from me. Look, let's take a train trip through South Africa.
There's a couple of great train journeys you can do in South Africa. Probably one of the oldest is the luxury blue train, as it's always been called, and it is a blue train, by the way. But they've been doing...
if it was red.
They've been doing holiday packages from Pretoria to Cape Town and reverse since 1946. So it's quite a long time, isn't it? And it's a really elegant train. So it's a stylish carriage. You've got the wood panelled lounges with the plush seating, and you enjoy pre-dinner drinks there, and, you know, just taking the scenic views through your large windows. Because train travel is, I think, a lovely way, whether it's in Europe or no matter where it is. Like, you see the world go by and you're just sitting there relaxing and chatting.
If it's done right and you don't want to do something that's not done right, it is a very romanced way of travel, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And when you go on these trains, of course, you're getting beautiful meals and you wonder how they produce what they do out of their tiny kitchens. But they produce...
How do they?
I don't know. But the such high-quality meals is unbelievable. And as I said, you've transported to a world of gourmet indulgence, if you like, really. It really is very special. You know, you have fine linen on the table, you know, beautiful table settings, and the chefs just produce, as I said, this incredible multi-course meals that blend of South African and international culinary delights, which are all created from fresh and local ingredients, which is great. A lovely curated wine list, which enhances your dining experience as well. Then they've also got an observation car, which of course is even wonderful there with your little glass of wine in your hand or whatever, and a cheese and bicky or a cup of tea or whatever takes your fancy, and just watch the world go by. So as I said, it meanders. I guess it was started from the 19th century. They were thinking about this, a dawn of a new era. You know, they had this dream of harnessing steam technology to link Africa's vast south to the north, which it is a vast country,
it's
as we all know.
It's a big join, isn't it?
Yeah. So going around really awe-inspiring mountain ranges, etc., and, of course, you're still going through some arid desert landscapes, untamed savanna, all sorts of areas. So initially the dream was from the Cape Town all the way through to Cairo, but that actually never happened. But it does go from, of course, Cape Town to Pretoria and reverse, and Pretoria is your capital. A lot of people think it's Johannesburg, but it is Pretoria, is the capital, the seat of government. And so it's just only a couple of days. It's a 54-hour journey, 1,600 kilometres, and you're just seeing some wonderful, wonderful scenery. Past guests, for example, include Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Imran Khan, Mia Farrow, Paul Simon, Leo Sayer, Sir Peter Ustinov, Elton John, just to name a few.
All right, so it's a really a nice, a really indulgent sort of a trip.
And if you want to indulge yourself even further, there's also a 16-day rail journey you can do on Rovos Rail. It's a different rail company, but it's going to take you all the way across from Cape Town in South Africa, all the way up to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. So if you're really wanting to immerse yourself in a fantastic rail journey, and you do come off the train every so often and have a couple of nights at a safari camp and you stay at Victoria Falls. And so it really is an incredible journey if you've got the time to do that. Again, they do have some shorter journeys as well that you can do just a 2-day out of Durban or a shorter one to Pretoria. But they're famous for this long one that covers, goes right into even to Namibia in the desert. It's quite remarkable. So if you've never done a rail journey in South Africa, and you may have been before and done your game park, so you're still going to see game along the way, but this is just a lovely way of seeing it in a very different way, in absolute luxury. And why not?
Yeah, why not? That's how you sell anything. Why not?
Exactly. Why not?
We are wrapping up Talking Travel with Sally Lucas here on Fridays. That's how we do it. And Sally, we must always finish the way we do with the hot deals. What's going on
so
today?
So hot, mate. I tell you, you'll get burnt.
Now, well, Darwin deals or something, are they?
No. Actually, well, there are a little few of those in there as well. But discover more of the Mediterranean for less in 2025. Now, I know we're halfway through the year, but Viking have still got a lot of vacancies across their cruises in what they call the quiet season, which is when you cruise out of the peak of summer, which I must admit, it's not my preference to go in the peak. And these are itineraries between October and December, where you can save up to 30% on a whole range of their European cruises in France, Greece, Italy, Spain, you know, the whole box and dice. So just keep that in mind. There's still discounts to be had.
So we're filling up the boats with the
filling up the boats in the low season. Yeah, basically. And what they've also done, they're for 2027, they've joined a few of their cruises together to give one long, incredible 36-day Grand Mediterranean Explorer, which is from Lisbon to Istanbul. So you're going all around Portugal, Spain, Morocco, you're going into France, Italy, and then you go up into Croatia, down the coast then in Montenegro, Greece, and finishing up in Turkey. Incredible itinerary, it really is. They did have a discount, but that finishes on June. But even if you can't take advantage of that, which is only Monday, this is just a wonderful itinerary if you're a person who likes long ocean voyages. Mm. And again, remember when you're on these holidays, that's all your meals, everything.
Yeah, that, and that's one thing one has to take into account. I mean,
you go to Europe now or anywhere, like our dollar isn't great. Mm. So, you know, eating is quite a big expense at the end of the day.
Yes.
If you're going on a land holiday, you've still got to add on all your meals and drinks, etc. So it is a good way of doing it. I mean, sometimes people look at the cost and think, oh, that's expensive. But if you start narrowing it down on how much per day you would spend anyway on top of your whatever else you were doing, it really isn't. And it is a lovely way of unpack once, as they always say, and you know, relax and enjoy it.
And in this case, for over a month.
Yeah, lovely. At the moment, wouldn't that be lovely? A month
nice.
Of warm weather.
Yep.
Oh, I'd be hankering for that.
Bit tough to take.
Yeah, so, did I say when they were? So there's two departures in 2027, March and April 2027. Right. Coral Expeditions, which is our small Australian expedition company, they've got a couple of new ways you can discover our coastline, which is across the top of Australia from Cairns all the way to Fremantle, 26 nights. Again, nice itinerary going all the way around the top and down to Australia, who are following that Kimberley coast, which is stunning, of course, as we all know. And there's another one doing the Great Southern Shores from Fremantle to Sydney, and that's 20 nights. So you do the Great Australian Bight, Coffin Bay, Launceston in Tassie, 12 Apostles, all of that. So that's great. And they've also just released another one doing the Abrolhos Islands and the Coral Coast, which does it between Broome and Fremantle. So you go into the Hootman Abrolhos Islands, Ningaloo Reef, the Montebello Islands, Cape Range, Range National Park, Shark Bay, etc., etc., where William Dampier went around all those areas, so you're discovering history as well. So that's great. And there's also some lovely packages being put together for cruise and rail if people are interested, like using the Gann and the Crown Princess and doing the top end, as we've been talking about, or doing the Kimberley with the Gann and using Coral Expeditions Cruise and tacking that on. So there's some lovely packages if you're interested in not just doing the cruise part, if you want to add on a land portion. Holidays of Australia have put together a whole range, about six different packages that are incorporating cruising, rail and combinations. So it's another nice way to see our own country and see a lot of it as well.
It's great that those package type tours where, you say, you're doing a bit of everything. So it's not just, okay, we've done the cruise and now there's something else. That's pretty cool.
I think it is. And as I said, I think they're good value for money. And most of these are for 2026 I'm talking about, because most of this year, obviously, we're halfway through this year already. So, we're looking at next year now too. Other than having said, there are some vacancies on your, low season cruising within Europe that are still there. Limited, but there are still vacancies there. So just keep that in mind if you're still planning a holiday towards the end of the year.
And I'm guessing that a lot of your some seasoned travellers would probably like to save a couple of bucks and do it that way. I know we'll travel somewhere this year. We don't know yet, but wait and see what's around.
Yeah, exactly right. And just last minute, we just feel like a getaway, particularly in winter. You find a lot of people sit there thinking, oh, the cold. I wish I could just get away from the cold for a bit,
Mind you, that 36-day cruise, that's one hell of a getaway.
It is one hell of a getaway. But, hey, can you imagine how nice would that be? You're seeing so much. Like, you're just really seeing a lot of countries, a lot of lovely ports of call. Yeah, it'd be a delightful way of doing it.
Yeah, very tough to take. All right, Sally, it's always a pleasure. We'll let you go and start working on next week's program right now.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
That's right. That's how we roll here.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.